Pues sí, Andrés, eso es lo que está pasando. Y para hablar de este tema, estamos con Sabrina Baeta. Ella es Senior Manager del equipo de Freedom to Read y es coautora del reporte La Normalización de la Prohibición de los Libros. La tenemos hasta ahora en La Hora del Regreso. Sabrina, welcome to W Radio. How are you?
I'm doing well. Happy to be here.
No, it is a pleasure, and I have to ask you something to begin with. Just give me a minute. Hay algo que le quiero preguntar, y es qué sugiere, qué cree ella que sea el objetivo que se está persiguiendo con esta censura de libros que se está viviendo en los Estados Unidos actualmente. What would you say? What would you think? It's like the social objective being chased with this censorship of books that we're seeing that it's going on in the U.S.
Yeah, no, that is a great question, and you're really coming in with the biggest question of this movement, right from, you know, your first mention there. And it really is to control information. It really is to control certain types of identities being available in school libraries. And the social objective is to kind of promote one ideology and take away critical thinking and the opportunity to be able to investigate and have stories from a diverse set of voices.
Okay. Nos habla de, pues primero que todo nos dice que esa es la pregunta. Y lo que se está buscando y lo que parece que es el objetivo es controlar la información, controlar los tipos de identidad y promover una ideología. Y de paso también censurar el pensamiento crítico, unificar las voces, básicamente.
Sabrina, ¿cuáles son los temas que más incomodan o que más están censurando?
Are you able to point what are the topics being censored at the most?
Yeah, so there's some key topics that we've explored over the 4 years that we've done this research, and books that feature certain identities, particularly have characters or people of color, are about race or racism, or have LGBTQ plus people and themes, as well as a largely targeted area is any books that detail sexual experiences, as well as ones with violence and abuse, which includes sexual assault within that violence and abuse category, and images within books. Any visual image within a book has also been strongly targeted.
Okay, bueno, nos dice que en esta investigación de 4 años, lo que han descubierto es que se están censurando libros que tienen personajes de color, libros que hablan de racismo, libros que tienen personajes LGBTQ+, y también libros que tienen experiencias sexuales. Nos habla de incluso de libros donde hay temáticas de abuso sexual, incluso los que tienen también y que se acercan a las temáticas del sexo con imágenes. Esto también se está funcionando en los libros en los Estados Unidos.
Julio, preguntémosle a Sabrina también si ella considera que de alguna manera esta censura resulta efectiva y produce el silencio que quieren, o todo lo contrario, termina de alguna manera estimulando, a modo de resistencia, si podemos llamarlo así, la lectura de esos libros prohibidos.
Do you think that this censorship is being effective, or is, on the other hand, maybe being, you know, moving people towards investigate and research and look for those books that are being banned?
So on occasion, especially when we create a lot of public awareness towards a certain title, some of our, you know, top banned titles may be getting more attention. But overall, we have, we have thousands of unique titles that have been affected, and not all of those get an equal share of the attention. So, no, ultimately, this means that a lot of books that were, you know, primarily available in school libraries, which is what we study, that are primarily available for students, are no longer available to them. So even if it brings that attention, it's still bringing a lot of heat and threats to the people implicated, especially to the authors. So again, even if it's like, oh, okay, this is a top banned book, now it's being, you know, creating more awareness, that author is still facing a lot of threat and harassment. So it doesn't turn into like a net positive at the end.
Okay, bueno, nos está diciendo que en ocasiones, sí, algunos libros han recibido atención, pero realmente no es el caso, porque son miles y miles de afectados y no todos a la hora de la verdad están recibiendo la misma atención que de pronto algunos libros específicos. Sobre todo esto tiene algún efecto importante en los estudiantes, porque hay muchos libros, muchísimos más allá de los que nosotros sabemos o de esos que están recibiendo puntualmente la atención frente a la censura, que ya están dejando de estar disponibles. Esto es una amenaza tanto para los estudiantes, pero también se ha convertido en un problema para los autores, porque los autores están recibiendo también amenazas y censuras.
Sabrina, ¿podría usted mencionar algunos títulos emblemáticos que han sido vetados recientemente y cuáles son esos argumentos sobre esos libros?
Could you tell us, Sabrina, about some of the titles that have been banned recently and what are your arguments to ban those books?
Yeah, and just make sure I got the arguments for banning them.
Yes.
What you asked?
Yes, like the argument for banning some of the titles that have been banned recently.
Okay, I broke up a little bit, but I think I got the gist of your question. So some of the titles, if you look at the top titles that were banned within this past academic school year, 24-25, which in the United States runs from June or July to June, A Clockwork Orange is on there. Last Night at the Telegraph Club, which is a kind of historical queer book, A Court of Mist and Fury by Sarah J. Maas. It's a fantasy novel. Forever by Judy Blume, which is like a young adult kind of coming of age novel. And Judy Blume is a very known author in the United States. All of those books seemingly have nothing in common other than the fact that they appear on this banned list because they explore all these different topics and all these different experiences. And so if we're to say, why were they banned? Well, you know, if we could look at maybe what the banners are saying, and they don't like that it has sexual experiences detailed within it. They don't like the fact that it has queer content. They don't like, for some of it, they just don't like the fact that, you know, it has anti-government themes, perhaps. Like, it's impossible for us to truly say why the banners are banning the books. I can only categorize it afterwards and say, here are the top content areas within the books. I don't actually categorize it based on what the banner said. But really, it shows how widespread censorship is and that it starts to take all of these different novels that seemingly don't have even that much thematically, you know, related to each other, and sweeps up everything.
Okay, I'll translate now. Just give me a minute. Bueno, nos dice que si revisamos títulos en un año académico de mitad de año de 2024-2025, junio-julio, libros como La Naranja Mecánica, o por ejemplo, nos habla de uno que se llama Last Night at the Telegraph, o otro que se llama Forever de Judy Blume, nos dice, estos libros no tienen puntualmente nada en común. Lo que pasa es que de pronto exploran temas y experiencias de formas diferentes. Algunos hablan de sexo, otros tienen temática queer, otros se interpreta que están que tienen unas posturas antigubernamentales. Entonces lo que está diciendo es que no es que exista una categoría que ya encuentre como un común denominador en los libros que está siendo censurado, sino que realmente la censura se va expandiendo a una cantidad de temas y de narrativas y de cosas que se están contando en los libros, y pues de temáticas muy plurales, porque pues eso es lo que está pasando y así es como funciona la censura.
Sabrina, ¿qué impacto creerías que tienen estas prohibiciones en los jóvenes y en su educación?
What's the impact you think that this banning of books is having on students on the near future?
So I hear directly from the students in my line of work, and for them, they're upset. So the immediate impact is that these books, especially books that represent their identities, you know, especially books that represent the identities of the communities around them, they get very upset because they see it as a targeted attempt to remove not just those stories, but those identities from school libraries, which they, you know, they feel that way because they feel targeted by that. So queer students feel targeted when LGBTQ plus materials are removed Black and brown students feel targeted when those books are, you know, books about their history and their experiences are removed. So absolutely, that is the immediate impact, and they have been some of the strongest voices in advocating for books to stay on shelves. But the more long-term impact is that these books just won't, you know, these books are removed from accessibility, from availability, and they won't see stories that reflect themselves or their communities on shelves anymore. They won't see representation. There will be holes in, you know, the kind of stories that could have really become aids for them as they're going through their life, stories that are going, that help detail their experiences in a way that allows them to have, you know, better, a better understanding of what's impacting them and what's happening to them. And stories that are also entertainment, stories that they actually relate to and they find interesting and they want to read aren't available anymore.
Okay. Bueno, nos dice que ella escucha directamente por su línea de trabajo de los estudiantes y están básicamente molestos porque de repente están dejando de encontrar historias que los representan en su identidad. Durante la entrevista ella ha resaltado mucho cómo los estudiantes y los jóvenes están viendo afectados en su identidad con lo que está pasando. Entonces nos dice, los de la comunidad queer se están sintiendo atacados porque ya sus historias y sus personajes y ellos no se ven reflejados en los libros. Los estudiantes de color, nos dice, de repente sienten que su historia también está siendo eliminada y ellas han sido las voces más fuertes porque de repente estos libros que cuentan sus historias, que son representaciones de lo que ellos están viviendo y cómo se ven reflejados en los libros, ya no están disponibles. Entonces, todos los libros y las comunidades lo que están diciendo es que ellos ya no ven el reflejo de su comunidad en los libros, esa representación que ayuda tanto cuando se encuentra en un libro y en las historias, esa ayuda que puede uno encontrar en los libros para entender su propia historia. Eso es lo que está pasando. Y también nos dice, además de eso, también historias entretenidas, historias que les gustaría leer porque son entretenidas. Todo eso ya deja de estar disponible para los estudiantes.
Con esta alerta que ellos están lanzando a través de este estudio que realizaron, ¿han podido también identificar en estos años organizaciones que estén combatiendo esa censura de libros en Estados Unidos? Y de llegar a existir, digamos, que ¿qué tipo de acciones están llevando a cabo al respecto?
Have you been able to identify any organization fighting against the banning of books in the US? And if so, which actions are being taken?
Yeah, so for the first time this year, we actually tracked, we've tracked what groups are responsible for, you know, creating an environment of censorship. But we've also tracked who is fighting back against censorship. And out of, we had 87 school districts, and school districts are what run the schools in the United States. And out of those 87 that experienced banning activity, 70 of them had a response either from individuals or groups and, you know, students, teachers, national groups, local groups, a wide array, a big network of people fighting against book bans. And there's different national orgs like PEN America that are doing this work, as well as American Library Association, National Coalition Against Censorship, every library. But there's a lot of state level groups, Florida Freedom to Read Project. I know I'm tossing out a lot of names, but a lot of state level groups that are fighting against this. And really, the first step is bringing a public awareness to it, is highlighting that this is happening, you know, that there are books impacted and this is happening in specific districts. But it takes a local response to really get, you know, traction. It takes people on the ground, people in the district fighting against the bans, going to their school district meetings and saying, no, this is wrong, this is censorship. It takes a lot of community members coming together and, you know, helping instead of going against teachers and administrators and saying, this, these are our values and this is what we want to see represented.
Okay. Bueno, nos está diciendo que sí. Así como han encontrado grupos que crean un ambiente hacia la censura, han encontrado un montón de grupos que no, y nos habla de 87 distritos que son los que se encargan de la administración de todos los colegios en los Estados Unidos, y de esos 87 distritos, 70 han tenido manifestaciones individuales o grupales por estudiantes, profesores o algún tipo de acción en contra de la censura. Y nos habla de un montón de organizaciones a nivel estatal, Panamérica, nos habla de la Coalición Nacional contra la Censura, y son organizaciones a nivel estatal, pero lo más importante de todo esto es resaltar lo que está pasando, y que eso, que al resaltar que esto esté pasando, se genere una atracción, que la gente se manifieste, que la gente vaya a las organizaciones, que la gente en los colegios y que los estudiantes en los colegios se manifiesten y digan, no, nosotros estamos en contra de esto que está pasando.
Sabrina, ¿podríamos decir que la censura literaria se ha convertido en una herramienta política en Estados Unidos hoy en día?
Sabrina, could we say that the book banning in the U.S. has become a political tool in North America?
Yeah, I mean, I would say so. It certainly is being implemented at a government level, at the state level, not at the federal level, I would say. Although the federal level is stoking a lot of rhetoric that is, you know, influencing, contributing to book bans.
Okay, nos dice que sí, que ella lo ve así, que es algo que se está implementando a nivel gubernamental, no federal. Pero sí, definitivamente es algo que ella siente que está pasando.
Well, Sabrina, thank you very much for this very interesting conversation and helping us, of course, understand what's going on in the U.S. Thank you very much for being with us on W Radio.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.